The thought the Lord gave me today is be still. Be still. Two words. And I was thinking about being still. Sometimes when you have little children and they're fidgeting and they want to get up and they want to move around, you might tell them, be still. Teacher might tell the class, you all be still. They get fidgety. God is telling us to be still. We're living in a time where there's lots of problems, a lot of tumults, a lot of things happening in the country, in the world. There are wars and rumors of wars and great upheavals and great changes and all of these things are happening around us. And if we're not careful, we will get affected by it. It will disturb our spirit. But God wants us to be still. Sometimes we might have problems in our homes or with other people, and it bothers you. God wants us to be still. Not allow these things to upset us. When he says be still, he wants us to be at peace. But if we look at the things that's happening around us and we get to worrying about it, we're not at peace, are we? We're disturbed by it. God wants his people to be at peace. That's why he says, be still. So when you have a lot of stuff going on and things bothering you, it is good to stop and relax and be still and listen for the voice of God. He has things he wants to tell us. He wants us to know that he is in control. You can say, things are out of control. And in a sense, they are. But God is in control. God never gets out of control. People do. Leaders do. Other people that are worried about stuff, they get out of control. But God never gets out of control. And he wants us to know he's looking down and he's paying attention to everything that's happening. And he's saying, be still. Let's read Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. Ultimately, he will be exalted. He will be exalted among the heathens. He'll be exalted in the earth. Oh, you say so-and-so is doing this and they're doing that and this is happening, that's happening. Maybe, but be still and know. He said that I am God. He's going to have the last say. You know, sometimes you may get in a confrontation with somebody and they feel like they got to have the last word. Parents and children, sometimes children get out of control. Sometimes they talk back to their parents. That's not good. And they feel like they got to have the last say. But that's not good. But God is the one that's going to have the last say. So be still and know that he's God. And when things look like they're upside down and backwards, keep your mind on him. Let your mind be elevated from the problems and know that he is God. Philippians 4, verses 5-7. So this message, I hope, will encourage you. When things look tough, Be encouraged that God is God and nothing is too hard for him. He's able to work out your problems. He's able to solve them. He's able to help in every time of need. He wants us to know he's there. He's paying attention. If we have given our heart to him, he will be there and take care of us. He'll carry you like the shepherd carries the sheep. Maybe the sheep is not, something happened to the sheep. The shepherd's not going to just leave it and let something, and let it die. He's going to do something to nourish it and cherish it. That's the way God is. Be still and know that I am God. I'm God. I'm able. Nothing's too hard for me. I see it, and I will do something about it. Did you get Philippians 4?
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
That scripture says, be careful for nothing, meaning don't worry about anything. Don't worry about it. He says, let your request be known unto God. You have a problem? Bring it to God. Pray and tell him about it. And he says, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind. You don't have to be all ruffled up and upset because God has peace for you. Let's go to Exodus 14 and read 13 and 14.
Exodus 13?
14 chapter and verse 13 and 14.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. But Egyptians, when you have seen whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
Isn't that wonderful? He wants to fight for us. We don't have to fight. In a sense, we fight our battles, but we don't really have to fight because he will fight for us. And we shall hold our peace. Now, what happened here is the Israelites had left Egypt, and they were fine. Then they got to the Red Sea. Here in front of them was the Red Sea, but the Egyptians were behind them. They wanted to take them back to bondage. And so the people were upset. Here they see their enemy, their Egyptians, they're trying to take them back to Egypt. And the Red Sea is in front of them. And it's like, we're stuck. But he told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If we have time, we'll see how the Lord delivered them. He delivered them with a mighty deliverance. And he will do the same for us. You know, we read the scriptures. We read how God blessed in his word. But you know, the story doesn't stop there because he wants to bless us today. He, just like he helped them, he wants to make a mighty deliverance for us today. Whatever our problems are, whatever our circumstances are, God wants to work for us. He wants to fight for us. He wants us to just be still and have confidence in. We have the scriptures to give us confidence that God will fight for us and we shall hold our peace. Psalms 34 and 14. So let's learn to be still. when things go bad, let's don't feel like we got to tackle it. Sometimes we feel like if I don't do something about this, it's just not going to get any better. But if we will trust God and ask Him what to do, sometimes He does have things He wants us to do. But we need to ask Him, what should I do with this? How should I react to this? And He will give us a solution to the problem. Did you get Psalms 34 and 14?
34 and 14?
Mm-hmm.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Seek peace. Sometimes we got to seek for peace. Sometimes you might have somebody say, you know what? I didn't like the way you did such and such. And it might bother you, right? You got to seek peace. How can you respond to that in a peaceable way? If they're upset and you talk back upset to them, that's not seeking peace, is it? But if you, one scripture say, soft answer turns away wrath. That's seeking peace. Instead of back and forth arguing and all, let's do a peaceable solution to the problem. Say a kind word, or say a gentle word, or say things peaceably, and then the problem will be solved. But if they're upset and I'm upset and we're back and forth, we're not really going to solve a problem like that. It just gets worse. I was thinking about Job. We've been talking about Job and how he, all the things that happened to him, and how that he said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I go thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the enemy, Satan, was talking with the Lord and say, skin for skin. You know, other words, if, you know, all that he had, you took it away, and that didn't make him curse you to your face. But if you do something to his skin, that's going to really change him. So he did. And he put boils from the Lord, say, he's in your hand, but don't take his life. So he had boils from his head to his feet. Here he's lost his wealth. He lost his children. And now he's full of boils. And he's going through this. If it happened one day, maybe you might get over it one or two days. But this went on for a while, so much so that he had friends that came, and they sat there for 7 days. They wouldn't say anything, but afterwards they start saying stuff. And I believe the things they said were not the things that would encourage him. So eventually this situation kind of started wearing on Job. And I want us to read a little bit of Job 29 and read how things have really changed. The respect that he had before all this happened was gone.
Job 29.
Start at verse 1.
Job 29 and 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. And in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hands on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the root of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and bridle. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was eyes to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the causes which I knew not, I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My rib was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all right upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence in my counsel. And my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not, and the light of my countenance they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that commands and comforts the mourners.
So you see what he had? He was in such a respectful light that people, they respected him. But if you read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 30, you'll see all that changed.
But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished?
So now it's gone. All of that's gone. No more respect. No more looking up to him. No more. He's not able. He was rich, so he was able to if a person needed food or money or whatever, he was able to give that. He said he was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. He did so much, and he had so much been respected, but it's gone. This is the situation Job found himself in. But he needed to be able to be still and know that God is God. So I want us to look at chapter 37 and 14.
Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of the kiss cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balances of the clouds, the wondrous works of him, which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieted the earth by the south wind. How thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass. Teach us that we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now when men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passes and cleanses them.
Okay, stop. Go down to 23.
Touching the Almighty, we cannot find out. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict.
So you see, God is still God Almighty. You are in a state that things are going bad for you, Job. Stand still and get your eyes on God, because he's still God Almighty. Well, if we would read the rest of the story, Job, God blessed his latter end. He healed him of the boils. He gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters back, and he had his wealth back. God worked. He went through this. He allowed him to go through this, but at the end, he gave him more than he, I believe it says, than he had at the beginning. So we can look, sometimes we get in these places, it looks like no way out, and it looks like everything, but we want to think of what can we do when we get in those places. One of the things we can do is take our thoughts off of the bad things, off of the negative things, and put it on God. Let's lift our eyes and our mind on the things of God. Let's go to Psalms 42 and read verses 5 and 6. And it helps us when things are looking bad to get a song and sing and praise God anyway.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall set praise for the help of his kindness. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, when I remember thee with the land of Jordan and the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar.
Okay, now skip down to verse 11.
Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for thou shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God.
So when you feel down, you feel depressed, your emotions are down, looks like everything is not working, look up. Lift your head up and look to God and praise him and see won't he work for you. He will bring you out of that. He doesn't want us to be depressed. He doesn't want us to be down. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to look beyond the things we see and look to him. Let's go now to Proverbs 23 and 7. We need to get control of our thoughts. Because our thoughts many times will cause us to feel down and feel bad. You know, we can be happy even when things are not going well. We can be happy in God. If we live for him, if we have given our heart to him, we can be happy even when things are not going the way we want it to go. You have Proverbs 23 and 7?
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Okay, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's get our thoughts elevated. Because then we can be happy. If my thoughts are on good things and on the Lord and on his word, I can be happy, even if other people are not treating me like they should. So we need to get rid of bad thoughts and replace them with good thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. When bad thoughts come to our minds, we need to get rid of them. Sometimes those thoughts are not even true. A thought may come to you, you know, they don't like you. You can tell by the way they look. Those are bad thoughts. Get rid of them. It may not even be true. Somebody may be looking bad. They might have something on their mind that has nothing to do with you. So we need, anytime we have thoughts that are not wholesome, that are not pure, that is not right, we need to get rid of them.
2 Corinthians 10 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity. And bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ.
I was thinking about one time, and I think I told you, this person was talking to me, and they were telling me they had so-and-so did this, and they did that, and they had all this stuff against people that they felt they were not doing right to them. And I thought about it. I said, you know what? They might not even meant wrong. Maybe, for instance, you say, they haven't called me in a month. I have not heard from them. They must not want to talk to me. Those are thoughts, right? What if they were just busy? Maybe they didn't mean any harm to you. But maybe they just got caught up and they were so busy. Casting down imaginations. That's what that scripture says. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If that thought come to you, like, oh, they don't want to talk to me, you say, get away from here. That is not a good thought. And you get rid of it. Because there may not be any truth to that whatsoever. God gives us in the scriptures what we can think about. So we're casting down the thoughts that are no good. But he wants us to think good thoughts. Philippians 4 and 8 tells us some good things to think about. What can we think about? What should we think about?
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Look at that. What do you think about? They got to be true, honest, just, lovely. You know what's lovely. Those are nice things. Pure. And then at the end it said, if it be any virtue and if there be any praise. If the thought qualifies on all of those levels, but there's no virtue, God gets no praise out of it, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Thoughts that are no good, get rid of it. Isaiah 26 and 3. So what can we think about? We can think of on his word, can't we?
Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee.
See? Get your mind on the Lord. He's going to give you peace. That's the ultimate goal. He wants you to be at peace. He wants us to be at peace. And if we keep our minds on the Lord, we will be at peace. It says, and one other scripture said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we can keep our mind on his word and his law and on him, and we can be at peace. I'm going to speed up here. Psalms 119 and 165.
119 and 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways.
So you keep in your mind on the Lord, his precepts are his word. Now go down to 165 in the same.
165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Thank the Lord. And then go back up to 48 and 50 in the same book. So we're looking at how that when we get our minds on God's word, he will give us peace.
Psalms 119 and 48.
Mm-hmm. 48, 49, 50.
My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember thy word, remember the word unto thy servant, unto which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me.
You see how the word of God will be comfort to us? When we have a problem, if we get into the word of God, sometimes you wake up and you feel distraught. Like he was saying, why am I disquieted? And your spirit is disquieted. And then he said, hope in the Lord. And you open the word, ask the Lord to give me something. And he will be faithful to give you something, to give you comfort in that time when you're feeling really down and discouraged. Now let's move on. And we want to go to Isaiah 30. 2 and 17. So we want to rest in the Lord. We want to be still and know that he's God and he's going to take care of our circumstances if we will trust in him. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be disturbed. We don't have to retaliate when people do us wrong, but trust in the living God. And he will take care of us.
Isaiah 32 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever.
This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to have quietness and assurance forever. Now, you remember we were talking about the Israelites and how their circumstance was. I want us to go to Exodus 14, back to Exodus 14, and we're going to read how God delivered them when it seemed like it was no way. It really looked like that it was sure destruction, but God took care of them.
Where in Exodus do you want to start?
19.
Exodus 14 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by them to these, so that the one came not near and the other not.
Okay.
And the other all the night.
Okay, stop just a minute. Remember I told you that the Israelites were right. The Red Sea was in front of them and the Egyptians were behind them trying to overtake them. But God put a cloud between the Israelites and the Egyptians, so that it was darkness to the Egyptian, but it was light to his people. If we live for him, he will do things for us. He will protect us. He will help us.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were driven, were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry land, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning which the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them and against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the water may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them, on which they, on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses.
You see, God delivered them with a mighty deliverance. He's going to do that for us today. We don't know the things that we're going to face, but if we can be still and know that he's God, he will take care of all our problems. Pray for me.